Sukadeva Goswami said, the Mahi Maha Prakutkaya Kambhayam Kuravikshatam. Sukadeva Goswami said, the demon Arista then came to the cowherd village, appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump. He made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves. Report. According to the Sri Vishnu Purana, Avistasura entered Krishna's village at twilight as the Lord prepared to dance with the gopis. Rasa-sarade-kata-chittu-rasa-shakte-janaradane rasayam-samato-goshtan-arishta-samupagata. Once, midway through the period of dusk, when Lord Janardhan was eager to perform his rasa dance, Aristasura madly entered the cowherd village, terrifying everyone. This narration by Srila Sukadeva Goswami from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing another one of the great demons that entered into Vrindavan. It is described by the great Acharya, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Lord Sri Krishna had a very regulated schedule. In fact, the great Acharya Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has written a beautiful book called the Govinda Lilamrita in the Bengali language. And in this book, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining to him what has been revealed to his very eyes while living in Vrindavan by the grace of Sri Rupa and Raghunath. Such great personalities will reveal the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What took place from the moment they would rise in the morning to the time they would take rest at night, and of course, those things that they would do after everyone was sleeping. In other words, Govinda Lilamrita explains 24 hours exactly at every moment what Radha and Krishna do in Vrindavan. What is their schedule? Now, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna during the daytime, he would go out herding his cows. He had 900,000 cows. And he would take care of them on behalf of Nanda Maharaj with his friends. And together they would have a wonderful, joyful time dancing and playing and enjoying all sorts of pleasurable childish sports. And in many ways, entertaining the cows. Gobramani Hitayacha. Krishna is the great servant of the cows. They would love to find nice, fresh, clear bodies of water so that the cows would drink and be satisfied. And after the cows would be fully satisfied, then the gopas, the cowherd boys, they would all drink from that same water. And it was always a very eager anticipation to find newer, fresher, and greener grasses for the cows to enjoy. In this way, in a very simple and sublime natural lifestyle, Krishna eternally enjoys his pastimes with his eternal associates, the cowherd boys. Now, because they were out all day, the various mothers of the gopas would put in nice packages their prasad. Mother Yashoda would always package just what Krishna would like. it is in power to know exactly what Krishna would like. In fact, she found the information that when Sri Radharani was very young, she received a benediction from Durvas Muni, that whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar, and anyone who ate what she cooked would never ever fall sick. So when Yashoda Mai heard this news, she was very anxious that every day Sri Radharani would cook for Lord Krishna. So on this day they would cook together on the banks of Pavana Sarovar, which is to this day still in Nandagaon, because every mother is very anxious that her child does not fall sick. Even amongst our devotees, when I see parents meeting their children after a long time, rarely do they say, "How is your Krishna consciousness?" Usually they say, "How is your health?" They will call halfway across the world to find out, "How is the health?" After that they'll ask, "Are you chanting your rounds? Are you doing your puja?" But first, how is your health? So do not be ashamed, my dear parents, because this is also the case in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda is always thinking, how is Krishna's health? And this was her great feeling of security, that if Radharani cooks, he will never fall sick. And of course, everything she cooked was also sweeter than nectar. And combined with the pure devotion of Mother Yashoda, all the cowherd boys were very anxious to see what was in Krishna's box. And they would sit down, usually Krishna in the circle and all of his friends, Krishna in the center and all of his friends in the circle around him, like a lotus flower. And they would all simply be looking at him. And Krishna would distribute his prasad to all of his friends, and they would find great happiness. This was the meditation of the cowherd boys. They were not thinking of lofty, lofty philosophy. They were simply thinking, what will Krishna give today? In fact, our own Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the compiler of the greatest works of philosophy in the English language, he translated Srimad Bhagavatam with elaborate philosophical purport, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which is one of the greatest, greatest philosophical works in the history of all humanity, Ishopanishad, Bhagavad Gita as it is heralded as one of the greatest, deepest philosophical works by professors throughout the world. So this great, deep, spiritual scholar, Srila Prabhupada, when he would give his lectures, he would explain very elaborately, very succinctly, exactly the nature of the soul, the nature of the Paramatma, the nature of material world, time, karma, all these intricate matters, and enlighten us with great gravity. One day he was sitting very deeply in grave thought during one of his classes. He stopped the class. And one devotee who was quite bold interrupted Prabhupada to ask, "Prabhupada, what are you thinking?" And Prabhupada looked at him and said, "I am just meditating on what is in Krishna's lunchbox today." This is the summum bonum, the conclusion of all philosophy, to have this type of simple, innocent, loving meditation toward Krishna. But of course, as you know, however nice prasad is, you cannot enjoy it unless you are hungry. Correct? So therefore, what Krishna would do is every day just before lunch, it's part of the daily schedule, he would arrange for a demon to enter to Vrindavan. Not ordinary demons, but demons who were like ducks, who were so big that they could swallow human beings. Serpents, when they opened their mouth, the top of their mouth would be in the clouds, and all the entirety of all of the cowherd boys could enter in. Agasura, Prahlambasura, who appeared like a small boy, but when he resumed his original form, he became larger than a large mountain. So in this way, Krishna would kill demons every day. For two reasons. Actually, everything Krishna does is infinite. How can we say two reasons? But there are two reasons of the infinite reasons that I would like to point out. One is to show how he is always protecting his devotees, and how, in the face of difficulty, our attachment to him only increases. Here in this, of course, the second reason is so that they would become, when you get all excited, you understand, when these demons would come, they would get all excited. And then in their excitement, they would work up a very good appetite. And then they would enjoy Sri Radharani's prasad and Mother Yashoda's prasad even more. The spiritual world is a place where Krishna expertly arranges everything so that everyone can supremely enjoy forever. Of course, what is the enjoyment? It is explained that even the grass and the flowers, they are supremely enjoying. Prabhupada explained to us once, what is the nature of their enjoyment? To give Krishna enjoyment. They never think of their own enjoyment. It is said that the flower becomes so beautiful just for Krishna to enjoy. And then Krishna sees how the flower is working as hard as he can to be beautiful for Krishna to enjoy. And Krishna enjoys that so much, that bhakti, that he increases his beauty just to show how much he is pleased by the flower's service. And when this flower sees Krishna's beauty increase out of happiness, she thinks, oh, look, I'm making Krishna happy. So she's so ecstatic by that, that she becomes more beautiful. And seeing her become more beautiful, Krishna, to reciprocate, becomes more beautiful. And then she becomes more beautiful. And then he becomes more beautiful. And the relationship between any single flower and Krishna in the spiritual world of Vrindavan, this competition of who's becoming more beautiful, is eternal. It never ends. But neither one is thinking in any way of enjoying. They are simply thinking of giving enjoyment. This is Vrindavan. This is the Leela of Sri Krishna. So when the friends of Krishna would enjoy the nice prasad, the real motivation they would have for enjoying was not to enjoy themselves. They would know that nothing was more pleasurable to Krishna than seeing them enjoy. So they would enjoy for Krishna's enjoyment, not for their own enjoyment. And when Krishna would see them enjoy, he would enjoy that so much that he would show how much he was enjoying the prasad. By glorifying it, and by smiling, and by making all sorts of gestures. And when they would see how much he was enjoying prasad, they would think, not how much he was enjoying the prasad, how much he was enjoying them enjoying the prasad. Our enjoying the prasad is making Krishna so happy. Let us enjoy more. And then Krishna, I am enjoying even more than you are enjoying more. And this way, that prasadam eating business was simply an endless, eternal pastime of giving enjoyment to one another. But here we have a very special demon. He was a nocturnal demon. He came at night. His name was Aristasura. And it is described here that he came just at the point of dusk when Krishna and the gopis were eager to perform the rasa dance. And this Aristasura demon, he came in the form of a bull. He was so immense in size that it is described the top of his body was like a mountain that reached up into the clouds. And he was galloping into Vrindavan with such force that the entire earth was shaking like a horrible earthquake. And he was growling. You know how the bulls roar. Well, you can imagine a bull of this size, the intensity of his roar. It shook all living beings' hearts. Children went running to their mothers. Pregnant women were having miscarriages. It is described here in the Vishnu Purana that when Aristasura madly entered the cowherd village, he was terrifying everyone. So someone may ask, if Krishna is always the controller of all controllers and Lord Sri Krishna is not allowing anything to take place without his sanction, and he is always the protector and well-wisher of his devotees, why is it would he allow his devotees to be terrified? The word terrify is a very strong word, not just scared, but terrified. The devotees of Vrindavan were not just hard-hearted, impersonalists, who just thought, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. It's not, it's an illusion. If they were, they would not be terrified. They were terrified because they knew that Vrindavan was meant for Krishna's pleasure. They lived for Krishna's pleasure. They were terrified for Krishna's sake. Their homes, their children, everything was simply for Krishna to enjoy. And the thought for a second that anything would impede Krishna's enjoyment was terrifying to them. It was unbearable. So in this way, it would create a great, great intensity of helpless surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord of their life, Sri Hari. So Krishna, upon seeing this situation, it is described that he stood before Aristasura and he challenged him. You dare to come into my village of Vrindavan? I challenge you, come, fight with me. And Aristasura, with his mighty, mighty horns, which were stronger than thunderbolts, he charged at Krishna with all of his strength. And Lord Sri Krishna simply grabbed onto his horns with his hands, which resembled lotus buds. And he tossed him at great distance. And Aristasura crashed to the ground and fell unconscious. And then when he came to consciousness again, his ego was tremendously insulted by this little tiny child throwing him. So he became
hundreds of times even more angry than he was before. And in this mood again, he attacked. And then Lord Sri Krishna, again he took him by the horns. He wrestled him to the ground. And with his beautiful lotus foot, he began to kick him. He kicked and he kicked and he kicked. Just like one wrings out a sponge, he just kept kicking it until the life force of Aristasura was about to depart. And this mighty bull, laying on his back, kicking his legs violently, passing urine and stool simultaneously, his eyeballs bulging from their sockets, he gave up his life. And all the residents of Vrindavan were very happy. Jai Shri Krishna. Well done, well done. And the demigod showered flowers. Everyone was very happy. But Srimati Radharani, she was very disturbed. Krishna, you are a hypocrite. What? Why you are saying like this? Because you are supposed to be the protector of cows. Govinda means that you are giving a pleasure to the cows. And you killed a cow. This demon was in a cow's body. How could you kill it? She said, yes, but it is a demon. How can you blame me? If I didn't kill it, everyone would be killed. He has come to destroy us. She said, so many excuses you may make, but the fact is, you killed a cow. And I have heard from Madhu Mangal's grandmother, Purnamasi, that one who kills, that Indra, when he killed a demon named Vritrasura, although he was a demon, because he was born from a Brahmin family, Indra did penance and austerity to atone for this killing of a Brahmin. So you should also do the same. So Krishna said, what should I do? She said, in order to atone for this sin, you should bathe in all the holy rivers and visit all the holy places in the entire universe. So of course, Krishna was never very inclined toward leaving Vrindavan. On so many occasions, Krishna would always find a way to not leave Vrindavan. For instance, one time Nanda Maharaj, early in the morning, was assembling the Vrijavasis to go on a yatra. So Krishna saw this. He said, where is everyone going? He said, we are going to the four dhams of the Himalayas. We're going to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Jamunotri. Very holy places. We should go there. Krishna said, you want to leave Vrindavan to go to those places? He said, yes, it is a pious pilgrimage. We must go. So what Krishna did is he said, Vrindavan is so glorious that those places should come here. So he called these four dhams. And the personification of Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri and Jamunotri appeared in Vrindavan. And Badrinath created a mountain in Vrindavan. Kedarnath created a mountain in Vrindavan. Gangotri, Jamunotri created ponds of water. So we are present here. And when Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai and the Vrijavasi saw this, they were convinced. And then Krishna said, so they are here, now let us climb this mountain. We have completed our pilgrimage. Another time, Nanda Maharaj was preparing for a yatra, short yatra, just about 110 kilometers away to go to the Ganges, to take bath in the river Ganges. So when Krishna said, what are you doing? You're going to Ganges. Krishna called for the Ganges to come. There is a lake in Vrindavan next to Govardhan called Manasa Ganga, which is the Ganges which was brought by the prayers of Krishna to Vrindavan. And still to this day near Kamyavan is Kedarnath, Badrinath, Gangotri, Jamunotri. One time the residents of Vrindavan wanted to go to the places of pilgrimage of Ram's Leela. So what Krishna did is he brought the entire Leela of Ram to Vrindavan. Ram came, Lakshman came, Hanuman came, Sugriva, and they performed the entire Ramayana right there in Vrindavan for the enjoyment of the Vrijvasis. And the places where certain events took place, they were Rameshwaram, Ayodhya, Mithila. Those places are still there. Therefore it is explained by the Acharyas that all the holy places in all the universe have taken shelter of Vrindavan Dham. And of course, Srila Prabhupada used to tell us at New Vrindavan that New Vrindavan is none different than the Vrindavan in India. So if you want to know why so few devotees from New Vrindavan come to India, it's because all the holy places are at New Vrindavan. There's no reason to go anywhere. That is Bhakti Pada. So Krishna called upon all the holy rivers and all the holy places, and they all appeared. And Krishna then took his foot, and with the heel of his foot he made a hole in the ground. And he asked all the holy places, "Now you kindly fill this impression and create a kund that I can bathe in." And they all became, they all sent their waters, and they offered obeisances and left. And then Krishna went inside and took his bath. And after bathing, he said to Srimati Radharani that, do you know that you have an offended, an innocent man? He said, "All I did is kill a demon, and you accuse me of being a murderer of a cow. So for this offense, you must bathe in all the holy places." So he said, "If you like, you can bathe in this kund that I have created." She said, no, I cannot bathe in this kund, because this kund is contaminated by the sins of killing a cow. I will make my own." So what she did is she found one of the hoof prints of Aristasura, and with her bangle from her wrist, she broke it and started digging to make it deeper and deeper, and all of her friends began to do the same. And then what they did is, knowing that Manasa Ganga had the water of the Ganges, they made a long, long line. It is about 5 kilometers, I believe, from that place, which is called Aristagram, even today, all the way to that Manasa Ganga, and they began to carry the buckets and pass them from one to another. And Krishna saw she was working very hard. So he called upon the personified holy places again. And when they saw Radharani and the gopis working very, very hard, they were thinking, "My God, how is this possible? We cannot tolerate seeing her do this." So with tears of love in their eyes, they prayed to Srimati Radharani, "Please grant us the supreme benediction of allowing us to fill your kund with our waters." So as merciful as she is, she said, "Yes, please." And at that moment, this was at night. It happened to be at 11:45 in the evening when this took place, that the waters from Shamakund, the kund created by Krishna, broke through the retaining wall and flooded into Sri Radha's kund. And that became Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And then Srimati Radharani bathed in that place. And of course, Lord Sri Krishna also bathed in that place. And Krishna explained that anybody who takes this sincere and humble bath in this holy kund will develop the same spiritual sentiments as Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he visited Vrindavan, he was most anxious to find this place. Because when Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, practically all of the holy places had been covered by forgetfulness. And therefore, he, and later on, under his order, the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, they uncovered these great holy places of Krishna's Leela and excavated them into places of pilgrimage for people to come to visit and be sanctified. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing that Radha Kund and Shama Kund were the summit, most important holy places in all the universe, he was looking all around for them. His servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, was asking persons here and there where it could possibly be. But no one had any idea. But of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in one form. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So what took place is this. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while searching and searching and searching for Sri Shyam Kund Radha Kund, he found in the village of Aristagram two paddy fields. They were not even lakes. They were not even ponds of water. They were simply rice paddies. But as we know, rice paddies have much water in them. And he could understand that this is the exact location where Shama Kund and Radha Kund eternally reside. So in great ecstasy, he began to take his bath by bathing in these rice fields. And then he took the dirt from that, the holy soil, and he put the tilak on his body in 12 places. And he began to offer beautiful, beautiful prayers, praising this place as the most sacred place in all of the universe. And then he sent one of his dearmost of all disciples and associates, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, to excavate that place, Shama Kund and Radha Kund. So he had it dug, filled it with the sacred waters, built beautiful steps and ghats. And of course, it is a very long story. Raghunath Das Goswami lived at the banks of Radha Kund for 41 years and did his bhajan for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. There is a particular story that while Raghunath Das Goswami was on the banks of Shama Kund, he was chanting the holy names of Krishna. It happened that Sanatana Goswami was coming to meet him. But as he was walking forward, he saw a male and a female tiger and tigress, right beside Raghunath Das, drinking the waters from Shama Kund. But because his eyes were closed in the ecstasy of meditation, chanting the holy names, he did not even notice. And then Sanatana Goswami saw that Krishna was standing there with a stick, just guarding to make sure that the tigers would not disturb him. When Krishna saw Sanatana Goswami watching, he smiled and disappeared. And then Sanatana approached Raghunath and he shook him from his bhajan. He said, You are disturbing Krishna. You are chanting in a mood to offer service to Krishna. But the way you are chanting, you are putting yourself in such a dangerous predicament that Krishna has to come to serve you, to be your guardian, to be your watchman. Raghunath was very ashamed. Some days later, again, he was sitting in meditation on the banks of the sacred Kund. And it was the summer. And it was noon. And the heat of the sun was so scorching that it was about to blister his very flesh. But meditating in the loving service of Srimati Radharani, he was simply chanting her holy names. And Srimati Radharani, she was standing between Raghunath Das and the sun in order to give him shade with the apron of her sari. And Sanatana Goswami happened to be coming, and he saw this situation. Srimati Radharani is protecting him. She's standing herself directly in the sun for such a long time just to protect him. When Srimati Radharani saw Sanatan, she smiled and went away. And Sanatan, Raghunath, what are you doing? You are chanting Radharani's name to give her pleasure, to offer her service, and she's coming to serve you. And Raghunath Das became so much ashamed. What am I to do? Sanatana Goswami, I will personally build you a nice little kutir, a nice little bhajan kutir. You stay inside. Then you can simply, to your heart's content, serve Krishna, and you will not disturb him to have to come to serve you. So that was the first bhajan kutir in all of Vrindavan by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, built by the hands of Sanatana and the other Goswamis. These wonderful pastimes give us a glimpse into the spirit of the devotion of those devotees who have given their lives in a sacrifice for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And although Raghunath Das Goswami lived in the most utterly austere conditions of life humanly imaginable, we all consider that there is no one more wealthy than he. Raghunath Das Goswami's father was making equivalent to millions of dollars a month. He was so wealthy. And Raghunath was the only son. He was the heir to all of it. But when he met Srila Haridas Thakur and saw his devotion to the holy name, Raghunath fixed his attention on only one thing: the glorification of Krishna. And when he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and received his mercy, he had only one purpose in his life, and that was simply to surrender to the divine mission of Srimad Mahaprabhu. So it is a long story, but with great, great, great difficulty, he escaped from the shackles of his father's empire. While the ordinary man is working like an ass, running like anything for material wealth, Raghunath was running away from it with 10 times more enthusiasm in order to attain the shelter of the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He left all that, and when he was living at Radhakund and Shyamakund, what would he dress in?
he would wear one loincloth. But that loincloth was what was the rejected cloth from the villagers that he would find in the garbage. When he was living in Jagannath Puri, he would eat only the stale rice which was discarded from the Jagannath temple, that was given to the cows. The cows would eat to their full satisfaction, and the rice that was unworthy of even them, they would spit out. Raghunath at one point would exclusively eat only that. He would come at night when the cows were finished. And in Vrindavan, it is described, at the most, every 3 or 4 days, he would take one pat of buttermilk. And he was so thin, he was so emaciated. But he lived, I believe, till about 96 years old, in this condition. And my God, how much his father worried about him. He would send messages, and when he would hear about Raghunath's condition, he would simply cry. You see, Raghunath Das Goswami attained the supreme wealth. And therefore, even the greatest acharyas to the present day, they simply aspire for the great wealth of Raghunath Das Goswami. What is that wealth? The wealth always remembering Krishna. The wealth of always being immersed in the sentiments of loving service to Krishna. That is the supreme goal of life. Rupa Goswami explained, if you can get Krishna consciousness at the market, whatever you have to sell for it, do it. There's nothing so valuable. Raghunath Das Goswami showed us by his practical example how to enjoy the sweetness of loving Krishna from within. Of course, if anyone today tries to imitate such a great personality, they will certainly die. It is utterly discouraged. But according to the present position we are in today, we can follow in his footsteps. And how do we do that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Grihe tako vane tako, sada hari pole tako, sukhe dukhe bulo nako, varne hari naam korore. Whether you are a grihastha, whether you are a sannyasi, make your goal of life only to absorb your heart in the holy name. And whatever you do in life, make it in pursuance of the service of the holy name. This is how we can all follow in the footsteps of this great personality. And by this process, we will become the wealthiest of the wealthy, with prema bhakti, pure love for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sukhe dukhe bhule na ko. That means forget about your happiness and distress in this world. It is all an illusion. Simply take shelter of the holy name. There is no other shelter. There is no other wealth. There is nothing else to live for except Krishna's love.